Okay, friends, I'm going to invite you to return to your seats. All right, thank you. Well done. Just a couple announcements first. As you may know, our family meeting is coming up this Wednesday at 7 o'clock. That's our annual general meeting. It's at my office, 7 o'clock. Please remember, bring chairs. Don't forget your camping chairs. We don't have a lot at my office. And if you don't get email, I know there are a couple of people that don't get email, and you need a report, I printed out hard copies here as well for a few of you who might need a hard copy. So that's there and available if you would like. June 21st is a Saturday, and we're planning on having a baptism. It'll be in the afternoon. I'll have more details about the time for you next week, or we'll put it in the weekly email once I nail that down. But if you're still thinking about baptism, and this is your time, please come talk to me. That would be awesome to have that conversation. Lastly, over there, AGM reports, and Dallas has newsletters there as well. Read Dallas's newsletter, support her. She's not going to be around a lot longer before she heads back on missions, and she needs your support, so please do that. All right, let me pray. Lord, I bless the work that you are doing here at the Dream Center. I bless the work you are doing here in the room, even as we continue on in worship. I bless the work that you are doing in the back room with the kids as they meet you in a way that is appropriate for them. I pray that you would partner with what the leaders have prepared and the ways that they are facilitating time in your word and in worship and in paying attention to you. I bless it. I pray that it would lay a firm foundation for a life in Jesus that is interactive, that is rooted in the scriptures, that is solidified in an identity as a child of God that they never lose. Lord, would you do that for them there? And would you do that for us here? Lord, as we go into your word, as we look at some basics, as we tell you again that we love you, I pray that we would again recognize your great love for your people. Would you have your way through this time? In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to play a song for you. That was Brandon Lake. The song is called Nothing New. The lyrics were much more vibrant on YouTube. Nevertheless, I think you got the message, right? A few weeks ago in prayer, I felt like the Lord was saying, just call them back to the basics. We're going to go back to the basics for a little bit. This is basic stuff. There's going to be nothing new, actually, that I'm going to call you back to that you don't already know, but there's something really refreshing sometimes about going back to the basics. Let me read a quote for you from a book. It's not going to be on the screen. A pastor telling a story. He says, "One of our church members was always having difficulty in his personal life, in his family, at work, and in the church. One day I went to him and asked, 'Can you describe your relationship with God by sincerely saying, I love you with all of my heart?' Could you sing and agree with Brandon Lake's song here?" Right? The strangest look came over this man's face. He said, "Nobody has ever asked me that. No, I could not describe my relationship with God that way. I could say I obey him. I serve him, I worship him, and I fear him, but I cannot say that I love him." The pastor goes on reflecting on this and says, "I realized that everything in his life was out of order because God's basic purpose for his life was out of order. God created us for a love relationship with him. If you cannot describe your relationship with God by saying that you love him with all of your being, then you need to ask the Holy Spirit to bring you into that kind of relationship." That's from the book Experiencing God. Lord, I ask that you would bring each one of us into that kind of relationship where we can sing and agree with this song, "I love you, I love you, I love you, Jesus, with everything that I have." Lord, I pray that even in this time as we go back to the basics, you would bring us into that that relationship with Jesus, that relationship with you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, where we love you with heart, soul, mind, and strength, with all of our being, and then that we love others the way that you do. Would you have your way with us? In Jesus' name, amen. I said more about this in my AGM report, which I hope you read. I might say more about it on Wednesday at the AGM when you come. But this is a season of waiting, I believe. And it's in a season of waiting that we get called back to the basics. Now, this is a quote from, again, Experiencing God that you will see on the screen, though apparently my visuals didn't line up very well here. And I apologize, but I'm going to read it to you. Henry Blackaby says, "If you do not have clear instructions from God in a matter, pray and wait. Learn patience. Depend on God's timing. His timing is always right and best. Do not get in a hurry. He may be withholding directions to cause you to seek him more intently. Don't try to skip over the relationship to get on with doing. God is more interested in a love relationship with you than he is in what you can do for him. He wants your heart before he wants anything else." My friend Harry spoke here a couple weeks ago, and he laid the foundation really well, a solid foundation, which is you are loved by God. You are loved by the God who is love. You are a child of God, and we need to be rooted and grounded in that identity. And not only that identity, but experiencing that identity as someone who is loved by this Almighty God, who is our good Father. And if you haven't, I would really encourage you to go back to that message or go home, sit with Ephesians 3, where Paul says, I want you to know and experience the depth and the width, the height, the breadth, the length, the all of it. He's going on and on about God's love. I want you to be experiencing that. And sit with that and allow the Lord to speak to you about how much he loves you. In fact, I would encourage you to sit and ask the Lord, "Lord, how much do you love me?" And then write down the things that come to mind, the scriptures that come to mind. Ask him what he thinks about you and write down his perspective on what he's saying. And then take what you think that you're hearing and you're writing down and compare it with scripture. Compare it with those scriptures that were read that Harry spoke on a couple of weeks ago and see if it lines up. Does your identity and the place from which you live, does it come from a place that is deeply rooted in, I have value because I am loved by an almighty, almighty God? Like I said, I felt like the Lord was saying, call them back to the basics. Television gives us certain characters every once in a while of people who just don't understand people. Can you think of anyone coming to mind in a show that you have watched where they're just completely oblivious to the social cues, to the relational dynamics? I could probably name one or two, but I'm actually going to go back to childhood for me. And in childhood, I really wanted a dog. And my dad really wanted a back rub. And I really wanted more screen time, and my screen time was limited even back then, but my dad liked Star Trek and back rubs, and I figured if I spent time rubbing his back while watching Star Trek, which I don't particularly like, I'd get a dog. We never got a dog. It was a great disappointment. But there's this one character on Star Trek The Next Generation, and I am not a Trekkie, so for those of you who are, my apologies. But anyway, on this show, there's this, the original AI is a character on this show named Data. And Data is a computer program, and he's a robot, and he doesn't understand people because he doesn't understand emotions, because he doesn't experience emotions. But anyway, one of the ongoing dynamics in that show is explaining to Data how people work. And I have sort of that in mind as I look at just some very basics of how relationships work here. Could we just take it back to the foundational stuff and sort of lay out stuff that everyone knows? I'm not going to say anything new. You already know all of this stuff, but I sort of have it in mind of like, let's just go down to the very foundations and say it again, because sometimes it's worth doing it and it's worth explaining it as though you don't know it. I know you know it. I know you know it, but we can all live some of the basics a little bit better. So let's do that this morning. What do you know about the character in Scripture, Joshua? Just call some things out. What comes to mind when you think of Joshua? Courage, yep, great. And how was he courageous? What kind of situation in life was he in that he had to be courageous? He led the people into the promised land, which was occupied, so he was a warrior. He had to be courageous. Why did he lead them into the promised land? Moses had retired. Moses was retired in a sense, right? Yes. So Joshua became the next leader of God's people to take them into the inheritance that God had promised, right? He was not only a military leader, he had to be a spiritual leader as well. Where did he learn that? From Moses? Absolutely. Where did they do it? Where was Joshua formed? In the wilderness, yes. And what was happening within the wilderness? A lot of waiting, yep. These are all really good things. And let me show you how they redeemed that time in the wilderness, waiting and preparing for their inheritance. And where Moses and Joshua were formed spiritually in this time. Would you go to Exodus chapter 33, please? Now, Exodus chapter 33 and the verses that we are going to look at are actually like a sidebar. It's like a side note to the story that's happening. And this side note gives us a picture of the regular rhythms and routines that Moses had in their time in the wilderness. From the time that they were at the mountain where they met God until they inherited the promised land. It gives us a picture of sort of week in, day out, week in, week out. This is what Moses used to regularly do. Now Joshua was accompanying him. Chapter 33, verse 7. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp, some distance away from everyone else. He's getting out of the city. And he called it the tent of meeting. Who's he meeting with? He's meeting with God. Anyone inquiring of the Lord, anyone who had a question, anyone who wanted to meet God in conversation came out to this tent. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside of the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tent, watching Moses until he had entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud, which represented and embodied God's presence among the people in their journey through the wilderness, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance of the tent while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshiped at the entrance to their tents. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide, his young servant, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. This is the word of the Lord. Where was Joshua? He's staying in God's presence. So where was Joshua formed day in and day out before he inherits promised land, before he steps into Moses' big shoes? Where's he formed? He's formed in God's presence day in and day out. I would like to suggest to you that if we want spiritual leaders who are going to inherit the promised land, they better be formed in the presence of God day in and day out. It is a routine that God honors. It is a routine that Jesus himself embodied. Think of the gospel scripture that says, early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus himself slipped out to the wilderness to spend time in prayer with God. This was part of Jesus's rhythm. So we see it in Joshua, we see it in Jesus. In fact, Jesus had a number of rhythms that characterized his life where he went and it was just part of what he did. It was part of his custom. He built it into his life to find places to meet God. Luke 4 says that on the Sabbath, Jesus, their holy day, Jesus went to the synagogue, which was their local church, their church worship, as was his custom. He built it into his life. Not when Jesus felt like it. It was, well, this is part of the rhythm that Jesus built that spiritually sustained and nourished him. It was the same thing with Joshua. God honors those kinds of routines. I'll tell you a story. When I was in seminary, a professor of ours was talking about a conversation that he had about parenting with one of his congregants. And he was, while doing this, explaining two different Greek terms to us. So he was hitting two birds with one stone in a sense. There are two different Greek words for time. One is chronos, which is ordinary, regular, measurable watch time. The other is kairos. Kairos has to do with a special time, a season, or a time that God has touched in some way to make it of a different quality than ordinary, regular time. And he was reminding us, he was emphasizing this distinction by telling us a story about a conversation he had with a congregant who was parenting, and he said, well, I don't give my kids a lot of time, but I give them quality time. And the pastor, professor, pushed back on him and said, you can't give them quality time because that's stuff that God oversees and makes happen. You can only give them quantity time and wait for quality time to happen. He might be slightly overstating it, but he's making a very good point. You cannot give your kids quality time because it's not something you produce. It's not chronos time. It's kairos time. Time that God touches with a special quality and a season to it and a blessing that only God controls. And you can't make that time happen. All you can do is give time and allow God to be at work. And that goes for parenting, but it also goes for our walk with the Lord. You cannot give God only quality time without giving him quantity time because you can't produce quality time. You can produce really garbage time, but you can't produce the quality time that makes a difference. You can only give God quantity time and wait for quality time to happen. That's in our walks with God. And I think God knows when he gets the leftovers. Now, I'm preaching to myself here. Let's say that all of my screens got together and talked. Would they call me a hypocrite for singing that Brandon Lake song, Jesus, I love you, I love you? If your screens took a vote and they all had a conversation, would they say, yeah, this person loves Jesus because it shows up in the time spent with him and away from screens. I want Jesus to be my first love and primary obsession, but it's going to affect my time. Now, I am fully endorsing our finding ways to reclaim some of the useless time. The time spent driving between point A and point B, the time in the shower, the time doing the dishes where you can pray, you can sing, you can listen to scripture or a sermon or something like that, whatever nurtures and blesses you. You can reclaim some of those times. I bless you to do that. Do that. Find new ways to invite the Lord into those kind of moments, but that's not the same thing as actually taking a chunk of time and saying, this is dedicated to the Lord. I'm not adding the Lord in while I'm doing something else. Do both. Do both. Now, some people sometimes will sort of, I think, object a little bit internally and say, but those times are only really meaningful if I feel like doing it. I'm not sure that's true. Those times are only important when you feel like doing it? I don't know. Do you only brush your teeth when you feel like doing it? Do you only bathe when you feel like doing it? No, there are just some important things that we just regularly do because this is part of good health and hygiene and all of that. Yeah. So I don't know. I'd push back on that a little bit. I think it's actually a deep expression of love when we do something we'd rather not do for the sake of the other person. I think God receives that as a unique and very special act of worship that he recognizes, oh, this takes a little bit more effort on their part in this particular moment. I receive that. I think you bless the Lord when you do something like that you don't really want to do, but it's for his sake and it's for the sake of the relationship that we have. Or what about, well, it's only meaningful if it's spontaneous. Well, spontaneity's great. It's awesome when it happens, but I had someone say to us in our mentoring group, I think it was, we plan for the things that we love. Do you just wing your vacation? I'm going on vacation in a couple of weeks. We've made some plans. We've left some openings for the spontaneous things to happen or hopefully not happen so we can get rest. But, you know, there are certain things that we plan for. Chantel and I are going on a cruise. Well, we better be there at a certain time, right? You have to order these things out, but we're planning the time because we love one another and because it's important, right? We plan for the things that we love. Do we plan for our time with God? I know that it's not really an awesome selling point to say, you know what, your life should have rhythms and routines built into it. Build a routine. I know that doesn't make you go, yes, right? But I do wonder if it actually does make God go, yeah, they're gonna do something really important. It's gonna be a little bit of work, but I'm gonna receive that as love. I think the more that we look at our lives and arrange our lives around the Lord, I think he receives that as very deep worship, as an expression of deep, deep love for him, because we show him by our calendars that he matters, that he is first love and primary obsession. Because probably your time is the most valuable thing you have, right? We're not getting it back. Plan for the special, but also plan for the ordinary. Don't minimize ordinary, just dedicated, quiet time with the Lord, and however it is that you engage, but in a way that's just dedicated for him. Don't minimize those times and how formational they can be, even when it doesn't feel like fireworks at the time. My family and I, growing up as a kid, we had this routine of we would go up to the cottage up north for a couple weeks in the summer. We'd also go to Florida. That was sort of our thing in Ontario, as most people go vacation south and it ends up being in Florida. And so my parents would take us out of school every year, late April, beginning of May. We'd take a two-week trip. We'd drive down to Florida. It was fantastic. You know, highlights, high times, right? Lots of good memories made. Making memories is special and good and important. Do that. I'll talk about it even in a second with God. But don't minimize the ordinary regular times, because as much as I do treasure those times with my family, most of the formation as a family wasn't on those trips. It was supper time, around the table, dinner time, sharing a meal, day after day after day. And I couldn't tell you very many exciting memories from years and years and years of family meals, but they were far more formational for me as a person and within the family than all those amazing trips to Florida and Disney and canoeing up north and that kind of thing. Don't minimize the importance of the formation that is happening in ways you can't even recognize as you just go to the Lord day after day after day, even when it isn't fireworks. It's so deeply, deeply important. It will form you far more than anything else. And then once you have a routine where you've committed to, I meet with the Lord at these times in my week, then add in the spontaneous stuff. Then add in the date nights with the Lord. And I really do mean that. Have you ever gone on a date night with Jesus? You should try it. Go to the coffee shop with Jesus. Go for a walk with Jesus. Have you ever gone on a drive just to be with Jesus? Take those times. And what you will find is that the spontaneous stuff, the date nights, suddenly have new levels of value because you've done the regular daily meals with Jesus kind of thing. Because they're no longer the thing that you survive on. They're the thing that supplements the already good stuff that you get day after day after day with Jesus. So do both. I, as you probably know, I have this weekly or every other week kind of call with a friend, and we, Pastor Chris, we check in, we process life, we confess our sins to one another, we just support one another. It's really good. So we have this regular standing call week after week after week. But I was in Edmonton a couple of weeks back, and out of the blue, I'd finished what I was doing up there. I had extra time, and I called him up. And he didn't know I was going to be there, and he rearranged some things, and we just sat down, and then we shared a meal together. It was fantastic. It was a spontaneous, fun time that we had, but it was building on just sort of a week-in, week-out thing that we've been doing for a really long time. It just adds more value. Do both. Don't do one or the other. And again, this is such basic stuff. I know you guys know this. I'm calling myself back to these things as well at the same time. But let's commit to the basics, to getting the basics down. I want to return, though, to Joshua in the tent. Think about your last vacation. If it was a good one, it flew by, didn't it? There's something about time that slips by so quickly when we are enjoying ourselves and you get lost in the time. How many times have you gone to a cottage or you've gone on some sort of trip and you're just like, we just got here and we're already leaving because it goes so quickly, right? You've had that experience of time. I think that kind of experience can be had with God. I think there is a depth of relationship that God calls us to in the tent. I think that's what Joshua had, and part of the reason why Joshua doesn't leave the tent is because he doesn't actually realize the time is slipping by. But we were designed for this relationship. And the more that we give it time, the more that relationship flourishes, because relationships don't flourish without time invested in them. But I think that there are depths to which that we can get with the Lord where time starts to slip. We can't believe that hour went so quickly as he met us in the tent. And I believe we will find more and more of those the more that we reclaim the extra times doing the dishes and driving and that kind of thing, but then also the more that we build it into our lives that I go to Jesus day after day after day to tell him that I love him. what I'd like to do is offer you some time, just a moment. Just reflect. Lord, what are you calling me to do? What is my next step in seeing you more and more have access to my calendar? Just take a moment with the Lord, and I'll pray. Lord, the time that you give us is such a precious gift. We can't get it back. Thank you for the times that you give us. Thank you that there is flexibility in a schedule. Thank you that there are moments that open up that we can commit to you. But thank you as well for, in advance in some cases, I thank you that you'll show us how to join you for a daily meal or meals. To see you in every part of our lives because we give you the best of what you have given us as we give you back some of our time. Lord, I pray that just as we tithe and we offer you something from the top, Lord, I pray that we would tithe with our time, but that we would see it not simply as a duty, but that as you are a community of persons, you are love itself, that we would see this as relationship building. That we would draw near and find you drawing near to us. That we would see time for us slip by because we have been in your presence and you have met us in times that went from ordinary time to quality time. Lord, I pray that more and more in all generations, but I pray especially for younger generations, that like Joshua, they would be formed in the tent of meeting, inquiring with the Lord and lingering in your presence because they find something worth delighting in and find that they are delighted in. Lord, would you do that in each one of us? It's not an inheritance only for the youth, though I pray you do it for them. Lord, I pray that each one of us would say and recognize you have made yourself available and accessible, and we will find ways to draw near. Lord, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom, and like the text says of Moses, we would have a friendship with God. And may we see more and more Joshuas raised up who know the presence of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.